Would you turn me to Daniel chapter 1 this morning? Daniel chapter number 1 this morning. And we're thankful to have the Word of God in front of us today. Lord, help us look at the world the way you do. And that would change the way we talk to people. And that would change the way we interact with people. And let's pray that this week. Let's not just sing that. Let's pray that this week. If you're visiting with us for the very first time today, we're so glad to have you. If you're returning and maybe you visited in the past couple of weeks, we're thankful that you're in our presence here. And I hope maybe after church for a minute I can greet you out there on the porch. I'd love to talk to you for just a minute, say hi to you, and get to know you a little bit better. The book of Daniel, chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, and so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Our passage here focuses on the lives of four young men. They're taken from their homes in Jerusalem into Babylon. It was a foreign country and a conquering country. Perhaps they had seen their parents killed. Perhaps they had seen their siblings killed. They had no doubt seen carnage and death in the streets. And everything that was familiar to them, everything that they held dear, everything that they loved, had been snatched from them, and they had been snatched from that. And they were taken to this place called Babylon, and the king says, I want to take all of these young people, and it's not just four, there were many of them. I want to take them, I want to wine them and dine them. I want to give them new language, I want to give them new names, I want to give them a new look. And for three years, I'm going to train. I'm going to put in an intense training situation. We're going to give some information, some indoctrination. We're going to give a seminar on how to be a Babylonian leader. And he says, and after 3 years, after we've trained all these people to act that way, I'm going to bring before me the ones, and we'll see who can really stand before the king. I want to make a contrast here. This passage is nothing more than a contrast of the Christian life versus the secular life. It's the contrast of what the secular life can offer you versus what the Christian life has for you. It's a contrast. These young men coming out of Jerusalem, it's a picture of us, of Christians, as we are living for the Lord to the best of our abilities, and now placed into a dark place, a dark world, and now the Christian life and the secular life are going to intersect with each other, and they're going to come into contact, and really the test is which one is going to win out. After this three-year assimilation plan, they were going to be taught the ways of the Babylonians so that they would be ready servants of the kingdom of Babylon. I want you to understand that. That was the point of this. Bring them in, teach them so they can be ready servants of the kingdom of Babylon. And that, my friends, is the challenge of parenting. Which king and which kingdom will your children serve? That's really what this is all about. If you're joining us for the first time, we are in a Sunday morning series entitled Focused on the Family, sub-series Fireproofing Your Kids. How is it that we can train our kids to live their Christian lives, to live those values, to live those things out in a secular world? Yes, Nebuchadnezzar is like Satan, bringing them in, wooing them, drawing them in, saying, my kingdom has something to offer better than the kingdom that you left. Ultimately, we'll see a little bit later on in a couple of weeks, there will be a contest between the secular and the holy, the God of Israel and the God of that culture. By the way, that contest is still happening today. There's still a contest today in this world. Satan and his kingdom, he's the prince of this world. The Bible says that. He's the ruler of this world. Did you know that? It's delegated authority. He's only ruling where God lets him, but he's still the ruler of this world. And he's trying to set up his kingdom. And now, here as Christians, this world is not our home. We're passing through. This is a temporary situation as we are on our way to kingdom, God's glory. Somebody say amen right there. And now we're going to have a contest. Whose principles, whose truth, whose way is going to win out? Is it going to be Nebuchadnezzar's and Babylon's or God's and the Bible? That's where we are. And our kids, much like these young men, are being brought into this battle. Ultimately, again, that is the challenge of parenting. Which king and which kingdom will your children serve? Fireproofing our kids. A fireproof kid would rather convict themselves than compromise their worship of God. We'll go on to look in a couple of weeks, but these four young men, well, three of them ended up in a fiery furnace. They had an opportunity. Worship the God of Nebuchadnezzar, which is really himself. Selfishness is the king of this world. It's all about that. Or go into a fiery furnace. I love the boys' answer. They said, hey, we're not sweating it. That's not what they said. But what they said was, we're not careful to answer you. There's no real dilly-dally about this. We didn't bow the first time, and we're not going to bow the second time. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, king, we will not bow. And they had such conviction about who their God was and honoring their God that they would have rather honored God in their death than deny him with their life. In other words, a fireproof kid is one who lives a lifetime of truth. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That means that you can, my brothers and sisters, you say, I don't have children right now. Do you know any children? Do you know anybody that's having children? You can help them with this. This means that you can teach young people and children the way to live that it lasts a lifetime. Amen. The teen adult years are especially, and young adult years are especially important times. They are formulating ideas and patterns that they're going to spend the next 20 or 30 years dealing with. I want to say that again. Young people between the ages of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 are making decisions that they're going to spend the next two or three decades dealing with. If they can make it through the testing phase, the formulating phase of their life, if you can fireproof them now, then they got a great chance, in fact, better than a chance of living for God into their adult years. Satan knows this truth of young training. I want to make this very clear. This is my first highlight. Now, if I don't say anything else, I will. But if I don't, if I didn't, I want to say this. Satan knows this truth of young training. If he can get them when they're young, he has a great chance of keeping them when they're old. If he can get them to bring in and introduce the drama and the trauma, the confusion, all the false narratives, all the false things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God that they're bombarded with, and if they can end up making 5, 6, 10 years of decisions based off of this junk, then he can certainly get them and defile them. That's what it's called, defilement. Please, parents, please look this way. Satan's desire for your children is to defile them. Defile them. Defile their minds. Defile their bodies. Defile their spirits. Defile their souls. He wants to defile them. And thank God that young Daniel had the discernment here, because he'd been fireproofed, that stuff that was put before him was going to defile him. And he purposed not in his heart, the Bible says. He purposed not to defile himself. We must fireproof our kids while we have a chance. Jude wrote in his letter of helping people escape error, he says this, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. As I was thinking about this morning, about 4:37 a.m., I thought there's a lot of parents today who are having to go pull their kids out of the fire. The kids didn't walk in. I'm talking about they got to pull them out of Satan's fire. Somebody gave me an amen on that one right there. They didn't fireproof their kids. I want you to understand something. You don't want to pull your kid out of fires later. You want to fireproof them now. Let them walk through it unscathed. Amen. Amen. Three reasons you must fireproof your kids. One, you can't insulate your children from evil or from temptation. It's going to happen. Two, you can't hide your kids into safety. Amen. Satan can penetrate your mind. He can penetrate your home. Right. Amen. Amen. He can penetrate churches. He does all the time. And you cannot prepare your kids for every situation. I don't know what my kids are going to face. God forbid. God forbid. I have no desire to go. I might die a young death. I don't know if my kids are going to have to be raised by a single mama. I don't know what they're going to have to face. Somebody say amen right there. I don't know what they're going to have to face. I can't handle every situation. But what I can do is give them truth. I can fireproof them while I've got the chance. If you adopt this strategy of the Rapunzel doctrine of hiding and insulating and trying to prepare for every situation, you're going to do one of two things. You say, where do you get this from? This is just from experience working for over 20 years with young people. One, you're going to raise a perpetual toddler. A perpetual toddler. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about one who never has the ability to make decisions or actually stand on their own. And when I mean stand on there, I'm talking about when it comes put to test, when the temptation's been put in front of them, deny God or deny self, which is going to be one of the two, your young people need to be able to stand and say, I will not defile myself. Amen. Or two, you're going to produce a temporary stander. What is a temporary stander? It's somebody that, well, we've just coddled everything. Hey, listen, I've coddled my kids. I protect my kids. I watch everything they watch before they watch it. All right, I know what's coming in, what's coming out, and who's around and who's not. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. I mean, all those kinds of stuff. Let me say this. They might end up, I hope they never watch this, but they might end up on the other side of the world. That might be God's will for them. It's not, but it might be. Right? Who knows what fields they're going to go into? Who knows what God's going to call them into? And I'm not going to be right there to hold their hands. And if God does call them over to a school somewhere or a medical school somewhere or a place or position, I don't want to spend 18 years to watch it all crumble in a semester. A semester or two. We got to fireproof for kids. What were the three challenges of fireproofing? We saw here in the passage we read, one, what Nebuchadnezzar was seeking to do, what the Babylonian system was seeking to do, was first of all, deconstruct their faith. If your kids are going to stand against that onslaught of faith, you're going to have to fireproof their minds. Go with me to Romans chapter number 12, please. Romans chapter number 12. Their faith was under attack. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I say this, brothers and sisters? It's a reasonable thing. It's not a big leap for a Christian to serve God with everything they have. Sometimes when I used to go to youth conferences, they'd say, oh, some of y'all need to surrender your life to God. Some of y'all, all of us do. Amen. That's all of us. That's reasonable. I'm not doing God a favor by showing up. He did me a favor. Amen. He does me the favor of even using me, of even talking to me, of even listening to my prayers. He's doing all the favors around here. Amen. And so it's just reasonable, all this thing about you need to surrender your life to the Lord. Hey, if He bought it, you don't need to surrender it. You need to quit trying to steal it from Him. Somebody give me an amen on there. That's reasonable service. That's reasonable service. It's just reasonable for a young man to say, God, I'm yours. I'm all yours. I mean, it's just reasonable to present myself to Him. Somebody say amen. It was reasonable for those young men to put themselves into that fire. That was the reasonable thing to do. You say, that was crazy. That was reasonable service. Reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, that's free. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know why so many young people and so many adults even to this day have a hard time discerning the will of God? Their minds have been conformed. Their minds have been conformed. Their faith has been attacked. They've been told that creation's not true. It is. They've been told that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He did. Everything in the Bible that God said and everything God said is in the Bible. Everything there is absolutely 100% true, and their faith is going to be deconstructed in this world. They're going to have an onslaught of things. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. Praise God. They're going to have their minds fortified. Their minds are going to have to be renewed, understanding all that's going on. You got to fireproof their minds. Then we saw that they tried to reconstruct their values. They were going to have to deal with the peer pressure and escalating peer pressure and everything that Babylon had to offer was put before them. I'm talking about the food they got to eat. We read it. That was the king's meat. That wasn't a steak that you get at the Pilot gas station. Somebody know what I'm talking about right here? If you ever travel, there's Pilot gas stations. You can, and a couple of different ones, you can get a steak for $2.99. You're going to pay for it, but you, I mean, more than $2.99, I will tell you that right now. I mean, but that thing, that's where the saying comes from, it's tougher than a $2 steak. That's not what these kids got. They got the choice cuts. They got the prime rib. They got the filet mignon. I know it's not the way to say it. They got the they got it all right in front of them. They got the king's food and all these dainties. You got to realize what they had just seen. There had been a siege and destruction. They'd never seen so much grandeur in their life. And here right in front of them, it was just for the taking. You're going to have to fireproof your kids' wills. Amen. You're going to have to, you are going to have to teach your kids how, when sinners entice them, to consent not. Nancy Reagan did not come up with just say no. God did. Amen. Some of y'all, you know about that one right there. Just say no to drugs. Well, just say no to the king's meat. Somebody give me an amen right now. Preach with me now. Help me out this morning. I'm telling you, our kids got to get their wills fireproof. They're going to have to understand what it means to say no and not to wilt under peer pressure, because peer pressure never ends. Young men, look this way. Young ladies, look this way. Peer pressure never goes away. Right. It just escalates.
That's right.
You never escape it. You never escape it. It'll be part of your life for the rest of your days. I just want you to know that. You're going to deal with it. And then we saw that their identity was, they attempted to change their identity. You're going to have to fireproof their heritage. These boys have very special names. These names all related to God. They all revealed that they had been raised in godly homes, that they had a godly heritage, and that their lives from the very beginning had been pointed for service of God. When we have baby dedications here, we don't baptize babies, because baptism, again, follows the decision to receive Christ. In fact, even when we dedicate babies, we're really not dedicating babies. We're actually dedicating parents who are going to point their babies in the right direction, right? Because the baby got no say in it. Baby got no say in it. Baby just there. Y'all know I got a fourth one on the way. Amen. But the babies are just there. So it's my job. It's my job. It is my job to point them in the right direction. These boys had names that meant Daniel, God is my judge. Hananiah, the Lord is gracious. Mishael, who is what God is. Azariah, Jehovah is my helper. But they were changed to reflect names of Babylonian gods. Identity change. Did you know that this Babylonian life, it's fine with any identity your child chooses, except for one as a Christian. Have you understood now that the culture you live in, that the Christian faith, the Christian value is the aberration? It's the weird thing now. That you are indoctrinating your kids if you teach them that God created the earth. That you are indoctrinating, that you are somehow warping your children's minds by teaching them the truth. And if your young people identify as a believer, if your child identifies as a Christian, if they get saved and say, I'm a believer, the world's going to look at them and say, that's a very strange thing. It's okay to have any identity you want except the identity of a believer. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so now our kids are going to be constantly bombarded to find whatever identity you want. I was going to bring some clips on the screen. Evidently, the Lord didn't want it. Probably been copyright infringement anyway, so I probably couldn't have done it. But I watched the news this week. It's amazing how my mind gets tuned into some things. And I saw down here in a certain school zone down here not too far away where they've decided to teach first and second and third graders and kindergartners about LGBTQ values and sexual identity. Let me tell you something. No kid that age needs to know anything about sexual identity. No kid that, it don't matter what side of that issue you're on, all right? No kid about that age is asking them questions unless somebody's putting it in their minds. That's wicked. That's wicked, 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 wicked. Somebody ought to say amen on that one right there. So they're putting all this stuff into these little kids' minds and this and this and that. And I thought, my goodness gracious, that's an atrocity. That's Babylonianism right there. And then the segment right after that was this required full-day kindergarten. All right, why? You got to come, they got to come when they're two. They got to go all day because they want them out of your home and under their influence. You say, that's a conspiracy. That's just Bible. That's just Bible. And so I watched this lady talk about all-day kindergarten, all-day kindergarten. She wasn't a teacher. She's a teacher. She wouldn't have said all-day kindergarten. I can tell you that one right now. All right? There ain't no kindergarten teacher saying, yeah. All right? No. None of them said that. But she went off all this and this and this is why they need to do that and to bring them into an inclusive thinking and blah, 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 blah. And then they had another lady come up and refuted that. And I thought, all right, lady, give her something straight here. All right. And this lady gets up and she begins to talk about, well, this, you can't make them go to school all day because if you do that and tell them where to go, and this, I'm listening, I'm thinking, okay. She says, they're not living their lives. And I said, what? You wrong too, woman. Both of them's wrong. Why? She wants them to develop their own identity. The other half want to develop an identity of their agenda. Both of them's wrong. God's identity. God's agenda is the one that needs to be formed in these kids. Amen. I know this is not popular preaching, but it's the truth. Back to the book of Daniel, please. Now I'm in my sermon now. Now that I got warmed up. Daniel, please. Book of Daniel, chapter number 1. I'm telling you, I got 4 youngins. I got to fireproof their minds. I got to fireproof their will. And I got to fireproof their hearts. I got to keep an eye on it. I've got to let God give me the wisdom and the discernment because I don't know how to do it. I've got to keep them from defilement so that I can train them to be champions for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 1, this is where we're going to get to today, and I'll have to continue it next week. We saw in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4, that there were some values that Babylon will place upon your kids. There are some values. There are some things that this world, this system wants these young men and these young ladies and these young men and these young ladies and all throughout. And let me say this, you to adopt as well. They're values. And it basically goes like this based off verse number 4. I thought I'd spend a little more time on this than I did last week. Appearance plus ability plus achievement equals acceptance. If your kid can look a certain part, and if they got just enough ability and can do something with that, then they are acceptable. If not, then they are not acceptable. These are the values of Babylon. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish. Children in whom was no blemish. I'm going to plug this one in. I hope you don't get tired of me saying it. We're getting ready to get to the place as a nation where when a baby comes out and you don't like the way he looks or she looks or don't have the color of hair or the color whatever like that, and you don't like the blemishes that on them, that we're getting ready to get to the place as a nation where we're going to kill them. You say, that will never happen. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. We are just a progression and a step away from doing that. And there ought to probably be a revolt over it. Amen, I said it. Let me say this. There's a false value here. Young ladies, I don't want you specifically to listen to me, but all of us need to listen to this. There is a value that the world says you're a value based upon your appearance. That's a false value. We live in such a superficial culture. Superficial. Our culture values that which is in their standards beautiful. I don't know who's making the rules, but they ain't got no common sense. Amen. We live in a culture that sexualizes young girls.
Come on, brother.
Hello? It's the truth. Sexualizes young girls. No little girl needs to look sexy. I hate to use that word in the pulpit, but I'm sorry, we're going to have to use it. No, what is that all about? Let me tell you something else. A grown woman don't need to look sexy. I'll tell you that one right there. That's free. That's free too. We live in a culture that effeminizes young men. Right now, the feminine appearance is the value of the day. It's the revolt against toxic masculinity that this world has been scarred by, evidently. But I'm telling you something. It is. Young men are the clothes, the fashions. I'm sorry to get on this one right here. It's all got a feminine appearance to it. I knew I was going to lose people today, but that's all right. I love you anyway. But there is that false value that these young ladies are being taught that to flaunt what they've got and what they don't got, and if they don't got it, to go get it surgically enhanced. I'm just being honest with you right now. We live in a city, in a culture that says, the way you look isn't right, go get it shaped up because there's something wrong with you in the first place. Somebody hear me, amen right there. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Never have we lived in a time when males, quite frankly, are more consumed with their appearance. Do you know right now there is a rise in eating disorders amongst teenage boys? A rise in eating disorders. Now, I have an eating disorder. It means I don't know when to stop, all right? I do have that. But this is the truth. Anorexia and bulimia, they are right. Those, and I'm not trying, this is not a mean-spirited thing. Those used to be girls' things. But now young men are so bombarded with appearance and how they look on Instagram and how tight their skinny pants is and all this other stuff, that the way they got to look, because our society values a feminine appearance, and it's false. All right, I know it. I'm meddling. Yeah, bringing it. You know what? I can tell by some of the look in your faces, y'all, we need to hear this. I'm telling you right now, there's a false value of physical appearance. That's why, can I meddle? I'm going to meddle. I'm already off, I'm going to do it. That's why this homecoming king and queen stuff is stupid for the birds. America's not next top model, my hind leg. What are you talking about? Woman that feareth the Lord, she should be praised. Amen. That went great. I'm going to keep on it. That's a false value of physical appearance. That your body is the most important thing you possess. That's false. That's a false value. They looked at these Babylonians looked at these young men and said, hey, these some guys that look pretty good. These some guys that can get our agenda across. These some guys that be well accepted by everybody else. They're good enough. They got the talent, the personality. Let's bring them in based on their appearance. Had nothing to do with character, although they had character. Somebody say amen. Appearance. Oh, I'm going to go off on this one. That's all right. There's also let me just stop here for a minute. There's a false value of social appearance. You know, people are in debt over their ears for the sake of appearance. It's all about appearance. You're about to lose your house. You got a nice car, but you can't even pay the light bills. We're in credit card up to our ears to keep up appearances. Amen. Buy things we don't need. With money we don't have to impress people we don't know. It's an appearance. This whole world is built on the fact that if everything looks good, you got the newest this and the nicest that and the blingiest this, then you've somehow made it because your appearance looks like it. Superficial. Amen. Superficial. There's the false value of spiritual appearance, by the way. The Pharisees were known for this. Everything they did was all about appearances. Everything they did was to be seen of men. Do you know why so many churches are dead? They look alive, but they're really dead. It's because everything's to keep up appearance. We focus so much on the outward that the outward has become the goal. But the outward man perisheth. But it's the inward man that's renewed day after day after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I need to start preaching now and get to my notes. But I just want to tell you something. That is a false value that's being placed upon my wife. And on your wife and on my boys. That they got to look all these kinds of things. I'm going to say this. My parents are here, so I'm just going to say it point blank. I'm thankful that we were never taught to look at the name tag on something to see if it was worth it or not.
Amen.
I still like Wrangler britches. I want to tell you that one right now. I still like that. When I first came, to Bible college. It was amazing. I went to Bible college. A guy walked up to me and said, I like that tie. The first thing he did, he turned around and looked at the back of it. And he looked at the back of it and he walked away like, I thought, you better walk away. No. It was fine until he saw the name on it. Then he couldn't wear that. God help us. You say, that's silly. Appearance. Appearance is the false value. What's the true value then? That's the question we need to answer. For every false value, there's a true value. So if the world values appearance, what is it that God values? The heart. Psalms chapter 78. Will you go with me there? I'm afraid I've already lost some of you this morning. I'll get close to it. I've got these other four values. We'll just get on to it another time. You say, are you mad this morning? I'm mad at the devil. I hate what he's doing to young people. And you say, what's your qualification for speaking about fireproofing kids? I've worked with young people for over 20 years of my life. I'm no expert, but I've seen the carnage and I'm sick of it. Psalm chapter number 78. There's an appearance value being placed upon my daughter. She's got to look a certain part. She's got to keep up with the you-know-whos of the world. Got their own reality shows. They all need therapy.
Amen. Amen.
Crazy than a June bug. They need the gospel.
Amen.
They're whacked out because they don't have truth. I'm not mad at them. I pity them. Give ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, 78, verse 2. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. I know I read this last week. I want to read it again. and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of their God, but keep his commandments. And not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their, what's the next word? Heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The psalmist said, our young people got to be fireproof so they keep their hearts in the right place. Amen. If you were to go read the story of Saul and then King David and all that's going on, you know why Saul was picked. Saul was picked because he was head and shoulders above the class. He was the biggest, the strongest, and the best looking man in all the land. I mean, that's who he was. And so, obviously, great was his downfall. Now, God tells Samuel, go find you another one. So, the first thing he shows up, he says, go to the house of Jesse. He's got a bunch of boys. He shows up at the house of Jesse. And who does he meet? Eliab. And he picks Eliab, and the Bible, I think, is very clear. He picks Eliab because of his stature. Eliab looked the part of a king. And God said to him, do not pick him because of his stature. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And the heart that God was looking for was out in the with the sheep out in the field, not with the big boys there. Somebody give me an amen right there. It wasn't the appearance that impressed God. It was the condition of their heart. Solomon, David says to his son, know thou the God of thy father, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. David says to his son Solomon, keep your heart right. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm telling you right now, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. See, our world values the appearance. Because why? You can slap anything on anything and it look okay. We got downstairs, we got some repairs going on down this room down here. We got some stucco damage. We had to get it repaired. It had a false wall in front of it. And so we began to look at that and say, wait, something's not right, because we just want to put some paint and some carpet down there for get ready for Sunday school. We had some things rolling. We began to pull back some layers, and what would we find? We found dry rot, we find termites, we find mold, we find all this kind. None of your kids have been in that room, it's not been used, so don't worry about that and don't sue us, okay? None of y'all been in there, so don't worry about it. But you know what? It had a nice false front on it, but you peel back the layers, and there was some major damage. And that's what man is. We can lipstick everything and look the part, but your heart now, that's a different story. Amen. That's the false value of appearance. The real value is the heart. How then do we teach our kids to value the heart over the external? That's the question now. We'll do this for the other two values as well. How do we teach our kids to value the heart over the external? When if you can't get a name brand thing, you get the knockoff. When if you don't like your nose, you get it fixed. Do you know you can get eyelids tattooed? I did not know that. How desperate must you be to get that stuff done? I don't know. That's a tough person right there. But let me give you some things real quick. Why in the world would you do permanent makeup? That's a real thing. Did you know that? Some of y'all men did do. I don't know. That's crazy. I don't know. Let me just give you some things here. How do we teach our kids to value the heart over the external? These are just going to just give them to you rapid fire. Number one, reminding them first and foremost they are created in the image of God. Amen. You want your kid, you say, how can I my kid not get caught up in this whole external thing? This whole thing about their appearance and the way they look. And I know I had sisters, so I know what this is all about. All right? I know sisters as they sit there and want to begin to look like young ladies and biology and development, all that thing's happening. So I get all this. You know, I'm not saying you got to go around and look like you got a potato sack on. I'm not saying you got to do that. What I'm saying is this. How do we teach our young people, men and boys and girls, that the way their value is not in just the way they look? First and foremost, they are created in the image of God. Amen. I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says this. I want you to think about it. We often talk about speech deformities and all these different things and whatnot. Are you ready for this? The Lord said unto him, talking about Moses, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? We might want to label them messed up, or we might label something out there, but you better be careful with God's creation. I said you better be careful with God's creation,
yes,
saying that what God has made is deficient or somehow. You can't improve on what God has done. Amen. You can't improve on the original. You don't need to alter or change what God has made. No one was born a male in a woman's body, and your gender wasn't assigned at birth. That happened way before you took breath. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Let me tell you what's wrong with some people who got some things confused. It's people confusing them. Amen. You say, boy, we got a mad preacher up in here. You better believe it. I want to remind my daughter. I don't know how tall she's going to be, how short she's going to be, what she's going to weigh. I don't really care.
Amen.
I don't know how tall my boys are going to be, how short they're going to be. I don't know. It's going to be a 50-50 situation. They're half Filipino, so, hey, you know, they got something against them right there, all right? That's not a ooh. Stop it. See, that's not even an insult. Y'all sensitive, all right? Anyway, I'm just telling you right now. I love you. That's just being said, all right? I don't know. I'm not tall. When I was in seventh grade, they asked me if I wanted a booster seat at the Pizza Hut. That's the truth. And a kiddie cup. That was insulting. But the bottom line is this. Whether I was 5'10", 5'11", 175, 145, 295, as long as I'm not being abusive and unhealthy, somebody give an amen on that one right there. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm just exactly who God wants me to be. I'm made exactly the way God wants me to be. My children look like the way God wanted them to look like. Give me an amen on that one right there. Their brain power. I got three children that got different levels of thinking. They think different ways. One of them is very technical. The other one's very artsy. The other one's got some other different things going on. That's the way God has made them. Okay? Other stuff. I don't know where. It's a different world. All right? The point I'm trying to make is, please listen. God's made him that way. How dare I tell him something wrong with that? Fearfully and wonderfully made. In the image of God. Number two. I got seven of them, but I'll just give you this last one. I give me something to get started off on next week. We need to remind, how do we keep our kids, how do we teach them to value the heart over the external? We need to remind them their bodies are not their own. That's not your body. Your body you got right now is not yours. That's God. He made it, and he paid for it. It's doubly his. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who set his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. These young men said, hey, this body, if it burns up, it's God's body. He can do with what he please. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I don't get to make my body look like exactly what I want it to look like.
Amen.
This is the body God gave me. Now, don't be envious, all right? I always tell people, I'd lift weights, but they're heavy. I don't do that. There's nothing, the Bible doesn't say you can't be healthy and whatnot. It just simply says this, bodily exercise profiteth little. But exercising righteousness, that's where the truth is.
Amen.
You can be healthy, be balanced. This is going great. I'm just going to have to tell you this, and again, I'm not knocking on anybody here, but a man's body's not his own, a woman's body's not her own. If you're married, your body belongs to your spouse. First and foremost, it belongs to God.
Amen.
I don't get to choose what I want to do with it.
That's right.
It's not mine to alter.
Amen.
It's not mine to alter.
Right.
Hello? I was created in the image of God. Why would I want to change that? So tall, skinny, short, vertically challenged to be sensed to those. I mean, whatever it's got to be. In shape, out of shape, round is a shape. I mean, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. God made you. It's okay. Somebody give an amen on there, please. Your body's not your own. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Paul is literally speaking about the human body, the mortal body, being used as an instrument of God.
Amen.
I'll just give you these last three because I know y'all ready for it.
Amen.
Amen. Number three, let me just go back here. I go back a little bit. Young men, and I'll speak directly to young men in here and single men. If she's not your wife, she's not yours to touch.
That's right.
Amen.
Until my daughter gets married, she's mine.
Amen.
Best be careful.
Amen.
Amen. Hello.
Amen.
Amen. And young ladies, let me tell you something. That cool Mac Daddy who can score 100 points a game and blah, 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 and he's got all the smooth talking, that ain't his body to touch. You better keep his hands off of it.
Amen.
You don't belong to him.
Praise God.
You're going to be told that your value is by giving that. No. Amen. Somebody got to say it. Nobody going to say it no more. We say it. Praise God. We'll say it this church. We'll tell the truth. Your bodies are not yours to give away. Thank you, all three of you that agree with that.
Amen.
Y'all okay with me now?
Amen.
Y'all still all right now?
Amen.
All right. Number three, I'm going to tell you how to help kids value, keep them values in the right place. You need to remind them that what's on the inside will make its way outside.
Amen.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You can cover it all you want, but it's going to come out. Somebody gets mad and lets one fly. You say, I don't know where that came from. I know exactly where it came from. Came from inside the heart. Well, I don't know where this person did this great sinful deed. I mean, how in the world did this preacher get up and do that nasty thing? It's been in his heart a long time. It worked its way out. And so we got to remind our kids that. And when we spot behaviors, we got to get to the heart of the matter through the Word of God. I'll give you another one. I don't even know what number I'm on. By reminding our young people that God sees what nobody can. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God sees what nobody else can. And so I wrote here in my notes. I got one thing. Y'all still with me, young men, young ladies? All right, I love you. We must teach our kids that what people think about them is far less important than what God knows about them.
Amen.
See, God knows lots about you right now that I don't. That's okay. I don't need to know it. I may not want to know it, but God knows it. God sees what nobody else sees.
That's right.
See, we get caught up in this appearance thing, and in fact, we think just because people can't see it, God can't see it. Oh, God sees it. God sees it. Let's all stand. I had three more values to get to this morning, but Lord willing, I'll give you something to come back to or run away from next Monday. I don't know which. It's hard to live in a world built on appearances, to keep your values grounded. What's the number one thing a parent can do to help their children value the heart over the external? It's simply this: by parents, you valuing the eternal over the temporary.
Amen.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. See, I got a model to my young people, to my children, to my teenagers, to whoever's in my influence, that what God wants me to do is way more important than what I got in front of me. See, it starts with you, Mom and Daddy. Are you going to value what you can get by appearances and be impressed with everybody else, or are you going to value what God says is valuable? Because if your kids see you valuing the temporary, trust me, they're building their life on appearances. They're just going to model and take it to the next level. I want you to know that. But if you can teach them that, hey, it's the eternal that matters. We may not have much in this world, but we got something we're looking for up there.
Amen.
The appearance doesn't matter. Stuff falls apart. That was my seventh point. This body falls apart.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody posted, one of our church members posted this week, my favorite childhood memory is when my back didn't hurt.
Amen.
Amen. Why? It's a temporary body. Why invest in a temporary? You're going to get a new one.
Amen.
All right? That's why I'm going to get off the point. I won't do it. Yes, I will. That's why I still eat meat. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to get a new one anyway. I'll not be deficient in iron. I want to tell you right now. False value, appearance. Real value, the heart.
Amen.
Got fireproof your kids. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you this morning. I want you to know that those who are caught out in this world, this culture, who are caught up in this life of appearance, I want you to know that we should, first of all, have a love and a brokenness for them. People are looking for truth, and they will function off whatever truth they've been taught. At the same time, you've got to keep your guard up. You've got to watch this false value of appearance. Can we pray now as a church that God would just keep us right where we need to be on this thing of keeping the heart of the matter in the forefront of our lives?
Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes. When men mocked your holy name, when they beat you and spat upon, let me love them as you love them, just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grieve for men hell-bound eternally. I'd serve you more faithfully. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more.